Like somebody said one time, any day, any week that I'm vertical and not horizontal is a good week. But anyway, it is good to be here and good to see everybody. And as you can tell, work has begun on our main drag out here. I guess, of course, been down here about every day this week. Well, I have been with Brother Carl as he began to work and help him take some things down and unload his truck. And of course, he, you know, has questions along the way. And so we're glad to help with that. But it'll be a couple weeks of work here. And so tonight, he has a couple doors out in the hallway. But Sunday morning, those won't be there. So just know that. Nothing will be in the way on Sunday. But we're excited about it. And we'll eventually get there. What's that? We will soon. We will soon for sure. And need to have an outreach just to have an outreach with no fundraiser. But then we'll have fundraisers again at a later time. But anyway, I just want to say thank you once again to those who came out to help, but also to those who donated money for this project. I really think that you'll be pleased with the finished product. And I think also that you might want to see some more jobs done. I know that I do. I think it'll be a really, really nice touch around here. And so thank you for those who've helped out with this project. Let's get right into some prayer requests tonight. I heard from Miss C.C. Prestridge today, and she said, Brother Chuck, I had a doctor's appointment. I can't remember the test he had, but it was on his heart, and he has to have a heart cath, I believe it is. I believe she said, I believe it's 3 stents he has to have. In fact, she said it wasn't a good report at all. The doctor said that you could very well, before we get these stents in, have a heart attack. And so they gave him, what did they give him? They gave him something to try to keep all that cleared out. Beta blockers or something like that. To kind of keep that from happening. So they requested prayer tonight. So let's lift Brother Chuck, Miss CC up in prayer concerning this. And Miss Connie had her procedure the other day, and she's home from that, doing okay. But Brother Trail texted me and said that she has to go back again on November 1st for another procedure, surgery. So Miss Connie is going through it, told Brother Trail that we'll be praying for her, and we'll pray for her tonight in our time of prayer, along with Chuck. A prayer request I've been meaning to mention publicly. Been praying for this person privately, but the Dailies asked me to, a couple weeks ago, mention this. A missionary friend of theirs, I believe he's in his 40s. I'm not sure if it's brain cancer. And I'm sure they're watching, so you can just put in down there on the comments if I'm right or wrong. Either it's brain cancer or a tumor on the brain, but not looking good for him. But they're hoping and praying for the best. And guess what his name is? Ben Turner. Ben Turner is his name. But just remember this request. Of course, Brother Jeff has a surgery coming up. Is it the 17th? Thought so. Today I was like 12th, 17th, 12th, 7th. I had it right. It just, I had the number flipped upside down on one. But let's remember Brother Jeff on this. They remove a mass from his kidney. And I know you'll be glad when this is done and over with.
Yeah, I did the left kidney last year and the right kidney this year.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's remember him. Sean, do you have a hand up?
Yeah, I'm about to get surgery done too right there.
Okay. Yep. Okay. And when is that surgery?
Next
13th?
Yep.
13th, okay. All right.
The daily say it's brain cancer.
I thought, okay. Will you be in the hospital overnight, or will they be letting you go home?
I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay, okay. Praying for you, buddy. And, of course, let's remember Israel, the state of Israel, everything going on over there. And also let's remember our children's home. And also, of course, the children, the house parents. And it's good to know that Brother Ceylon has his eyes repaired, both, and doing good on that. And so praise the Lord for that. But let's remember Brother Harold, Dolores, and Leonard. They were here Sunday morning. It was good to see Miss Dolores and Brother Leonard. Of course, he was at the yard sale, but good to see them. Miss Tracy Reese and her mother. Let's remember in prayer Don and Carla Rich. As you know, they're in the States, but they're in Texas at a Bible conference, I believe it is. And so let's remember them. Of course, all the things going on in Texas / Mexico and the border. Let's pray for their safety and protection there and back. Miss Claudia, talked to her yesterday, and her great-granddaughter has diabetes and a hole in the heart, and she's just laying around not doing well. And so I told her we will remember her, and that's her great-granddaughter with issues going on. Also, while it's on my mind, someone had a birthday yesterday, and I wonder who it could be. I think it might be a Mary. Is there a Mary in the house who had a birthday yesterday?
I was looking for somebody that had a birthday.
Oh, well.
I did, and I had a wonderful time thanks to a lot of these ladies in here. We had a ball.
Well.
We almost got kicked out. She might have. Not really.
Well, did you eat a meatball for me like I asked?
You get a meatball. I didn't see any.
Okay. Well, they went to the Olive Garden for a birthday, and I told her to eat a meatball for me. But anyway, happy birthday to you.
We'll find one next time for you.
Okay, that'll work. Let's remember the Ely's in our prayers. Of course, the Daly's in Ashworth. Miss Barbara Anderson, I had a visit with her yesterday, and it was a delightful visit. And she's actually doing pretty good, I think, considering the circumstances. Nothing but smiles and smiles for miles. And she had her walked in the room, and some of you know she has a roommate named Judy. Judy wasn't there. She was actually at home with her family. Miss Barbara says she was sick, and so she's getting better. But Miss Barbara was laying there, and she had her stuffed animal, sloth, that she had with her, and so I visited with her for a few minutes, and I said, what's your stuffed animal's name? And she said, Baby. And so, of course, she had the biggest smile and everything, but I mean, she was just laying there, just content, you know, not happy with the circumstances, but I tell you, visiting some of these in nursing homes and shut-ins, you leave more blessed than you came. I was encouraged. I was blessed visiting with her. You know, someone in that kind of situation that can smile and have the peace of God in their heart and be content, you know, me personally, what excuse do I have? You know, but that was a blessing. But just continue to remember her in your prayers. The McCrickards, Joyce Manning, our other shut-ins, Jenny Clanton, her husband Jimmy, and then James Tolan Brown in the Marines, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College. But maybe someone has a prayer request or a prayer praise update.
Cassie had surgery.
That's right.
On her tooth this weekend.
Yeah.
It was Monday.
mentioned that Sunday night. Anyone else? All right. Well, all would, if you would, remember our trunk retreat this coming up Sunday night at 5 o'clock. Of course, we'll be downstairs. We'll be outside. And we'll be continuing our hot dog and hamburger cooking. And so that'll be a great time. Have a sign-up sheet if you would like to sign that, just so we'll have a little more idea of who's all going to be there and participate. It's going to be a good time here at the church. And so that's going to be, that night's going to be devoted to the trunk retreat. There'll be no devotion that night, but just be a great time of fellowship together. And so remember that. All right. Anything else? I believe that'll do it. Okay, well, all that would, let's have a time of prayer together in the altar, and then Brother Jeff has a song, I'm sure. One last thing, the candy donations, if you have some candy donations, if you could bring those by Sunday, that'd be great, Sunday morning. Just lay them over here in the tub with the other candy donations. Douglas County, I believe it was. So they're bold out there. Those criminals are bold. So we got to be careful when we're out there. Remember that. Also, remember a friend of mine who came in after service started Sunday night, Ben Davis. And we used to run the streets together, B.C., before Christ. And I mentioned this to some, but Brother Larry Bennett did a job for him and didn't charge him. He just said, "Won't you come to church?" And so he came, and they were talking. He said, Ben said, "Well, who's your pastor?" He said, "Justin Hales, you know him?" He said, "He wouldn't happen to have a certain nickname, would he?" He said, "What's that nickname?" I've told the Wednesday night crowd this before. He said, "His nickname wouldn't be Boots, would it?" And he said, "I don't know, let me ask." And so Larry called me or texted me. I said, "Yep." I said, "Only the inner circle knows me by that name back in the day." And so he said he'd come, and he came. And he says he's going to come back. His mother, he lives with his mother, taking care of her. She just had a stroke recently and due to some stress in her life. But they want to come back. So praying that they'll be back Sunday morning. And just in case you're wondering about that nickname, when I was little, I used to sneak into my grandparents' bedroom, and I'd slip my little legs into his cowboy boots, and I'd go running through the house. And he told that to one of my friends one time, and then it leaked out, and so it stuck. But, you know, over Austell, Marietta, if that nickname comes up, well, they know exactly who that is. I don't go by that nickname anymore. Some things have changed, only to my grandpa, of course. But anyway, speaking of names tonight, have you ever met someone that you know and have a relationship with your name? Well, tonight we have three Marys that you know each other, and you're here. But think about it for a moment. Have you ever met anybody with your name? Sometimes when you have a name, someone else has that same name, and if you're in a friendship with them, sometimes it can get confusing, especially if you don't mention their last name. And I think about the Davids we have here. We have two Davids here, right? I came up with two, David Henderson and David Barker, and David H. and David B. And so sometimes if you say David around here, you got to be more specific. David Henderson or David Barker. You know, if we said that, well, David, you know, David really did a great job on the piano, the keyboard this morning. Obviously, you'd know David Barker. Of course, God could touch David Henderson. And he'd get on that keyboard and start pounding them keys. And so, hey, we're not limiting. We're not limiting what God can do with Davids, nor Marys. God can do with Davids or Marys. There's an actor named Will Smith, but there's also a couple ball players in the MLB named Will Smith. There's a pitcher that we used to have named Will Smith, and then there's a hind catcher for the LA Dodgers named Will Smith. And so if you bring up the name Will Smith, well, there's several Will Smiths. Of course, this is common. Everybody has at least heard of someone with your name, I'm sure, or has heard of similar names many people are named after. So my name is Justin, and I think about sometimes growing up, my grandpa used to watch on TV Justin Wilson. Y'all remember Justin Wilson, the cooker? Wore the red suspenders. So I remember him growing up. And, of course, there's the boot brand, Justin Boots. And so names can be similar but have different meanings with different people. A few weeks ago, we talked about the man named Judas. More specifically, Judas Iscariot. And then we talked about the other week the apostles as a whole. But I want to talk about the man Judas, but the other Judas. You know, there's at least two Judases in the Bible. There's Judas Iscariot, we talked about. But then there is Judas Thaddeus Libius is his name. Some just call him Thaddeus. But this is the other Judas. And he is much different than the Judas Iscariot. You know, in the study we did on Judas Iscariot, we saw and refreshed our memories on who he was and how he betrayed the Lord. But tonight, this is the good Judas. This is the other Judas. And so, if you have your Bibles, make your way to Matthew chapter number 10. Everybody ready for Bible drill? Raise your hand if you'd like to read. Okay, all right. All in the center row. That's good. I won't get confused that way. Matthew chapter number 10. I'll begin reading verse number 1 down through verse number 4. Matthew 10, verse 1 through 4. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Libius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. That's reading Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 1 through 4. You say, well, I don't see where Judas is mentioned twice. Well, we'll get into that in just a moment. But I do want to mention three things about this other man named Judas. I want to mention his many names. He actually had three names. And I want to go through those names of this other Judas. And then I want to talk about the meaning of his names. And then the misunderstanding of the question he had for Jesus. And so the many names of this apostle. Of course, here in Matthew 10, verse number 3, the Bible says, and Libius, whose surname was Thaddeus. And so his first name is Libius. Make your way to Mark, if you would. We're done with Matthew for now. Mark chapter number 3. And verse number 18, let's see, Mary Kelly, I believe you had a hand up. Do you want to read Mark chapter number 3 and verse 18? We're going to see the second name that Judas has. It's not only Libius, but then we're going to look at Thaddeus. Mark 3 and verse number 18 when you're ready. Verse number 18. All right. Good job on those names. Good job. So we see here his name is Thaddeus as well. And so the first name is Libius. Here in Mark 3:18, Thaddeus. Now turn over to Luke chapter number 6, verse number 16. Ms. Sharon, do you have a hand up?
Yes.
Okay. Luke 6:16, and this is a differentiator when it comes to two, or at least it's a differentiator from the other Judas. Luke 6 and verse number 16.
Also was the traitor.
So there we see for the first time the differentiator that there is two Judases. He says again, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And so we see that he's labeled here Judas, the brother of James. John chapter number 14, we see he's called Judas here. John 14, verse number 22, Miss Lee Ellen, when you get there. There again, another differentiator of Judas Iscariot and Judas, which is also called Thaddeus Libius. Judas, the brother of James, he says, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. So it's plain to see here that this wasn't Judas Iscariot talking, but it was the other Judas. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Acts chapter number 1, I'll read this one. Verse number 13, we see his name here again. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. And so he has many names tonight. This other Judas, again, we read where his name is Thaddeus. We read where his name is Libius, and we read where his name is Judas. So if we were to put all these names together, it would probably be this: Judas, Libius, whose surname was Thaddeus. And so, wow, that's a lot of names to go by. And of course, we know that, in all likelihood, the name, surname Thaddeus, or nickname Thaddeus, was given by the apostles to differentiate which Judas they were talking about at the time. Again, like I said, you know, Brother David did a great job on the keyboard this morning. And we know who he's talking about because Brother David Barker plays the keyboard. And we know Brother David Henderson does different things in many things. And so they said, we're going to name him Thaddeus. Thaddeus, so that we can differentiate which Judas we're talking about. So number one tonight, the many names. The many names of this other Judas. But what about the meaning of these names? The actual meaning. Well, as we mentioned when we talked about Judas Iscariot, the name Judas means praise the Lord. Judas comes from the Hebrew name Judah, which means praise. And so this Judas is distinguished from the traitor by calling him in John 14, 22, Judas, not Iscariot. When we talked about Judas Iscariot, we talked about what a just bad thing it is to have such a name as Judas and not live up to that name. In the day and time in which we live, I don't think at any time really, except for Bible days, that people would name their kids Judas. And probably because it all goes back in some measure, in all likelihood, goes back to Judas Iscariot and the connection of what he did by betraying Judas as to why people haven't named their children Judas. But wait a minute, there's another Judas. Judas Thaddeus. And this Judas was a good man. And so, but it just goes to show you that people can name their kids Judas if they want to, but it all goes back to something negative, although Judas Thaddeus lived a very positive life. But Judas Iscariot just ruined it for everybody. And so Judas means praise of the Lord. What about Libius? Libius, what does the name Libius mean? It means the heart, or it means man of heart. The Hebrew lib, L-E-B, means the heart. The Greek form of this word suggests heart child, one of tenderness, one of a heart like a child. So he's named Judas, praise of the Lord, but Libius, meaning the heart, or man of heart, or heart of a child. And so, what about the name Thaddeus? What does the name Thaddeus mean? Well, it just simply means breast here, the Hebrew Thad, T-H-A-D, in reference to females, of course. But so if you put those words together, Judas, Libius, Thaddeus, you will take away that when you put these names together and the meanings of their names, it suggests a person who is tender-hearted, affectionate, and caring. That's this Judas, Judas Thaddeus, Libius, a man of tenderness of heart, shows affection, and who is very caring. So even the name Judas, of course, as I said a moment ago, means praise. It refers to the inward part of man, and for praise must come from the heart. And we know that. Thaddeus must have been a very humble, loving, even emotional kind of man, one who is, again, caring and tender-hearted. And so out of all the apostles, one person said that this man, Judas, Libius, Thaddeus, most probably was the most tender-hearted out of all the apostles. And, you know, it's been some time since I did a study on this particular Judas, and I had forgotten about him. I had forgotten that there were two Judases just because of my mind being on other studies. But it was a good refresher for me to go back and look at this because there is another Judas, and he was probably the most tender-hearted of them all. So that's the meaning of his names, and we mentioned his many names. But then there's a misunderstanding of a question that he had. Turn, if you would, to John chapter number 14. This Judas Thaddeus was known by the question that he had. John 14, 22. John 14, 22. Ms. Sharon, whenever you get there, if you would like to read that one verse for us, John 14, verse number 22. Here we're going to see the question that he had. There you have it. There's the question that Judas is known by. He talks about the Lord manifesting himself unto the disciples, the apostles, but not unto the world. Well, this is something Jesus has been teaching the apostles for some time now. His 3.5 years, of course, that's the completion of his earthly ministry. But he was talking about that he would go to the cross and that he would die and be buried and then rise again, and then he would ascend back to the Father. And he spoke of the Comforter coming and the third person of the Godhead coming and all of these things. And so it's like Judas Thaddeus, he had this lack of spiritual understanding in the teachings of Jesus. Jesus kept pointing to the hereafter. He kept pointing to the ultimate plan of the Father, which is to redeem man and go back to the Father. And so this question of Thaddeus, it lacked spiritual understanding. And so Jesus is teaching his disciples that he will go away and how he will reveal himself to them when he's gone. And this is just a question that Judas had that he really didn't grasp. Now in John chapter number 13, we're in John 14. But John 13, we won't read all of these verses, but I do want to read John 13, verse 33 through 38. He talks about going away here. He says in verse number 33, John 13, "Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. So there Jesus is speaking of his going away. Of course, chapter number 14, verse number 19 through 21, we'll just go ahead and read it. He says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So that's reading down through verse number 21. And then Judas has this question in verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? So this is the question that Judas Thaddeus is known by. This great question of, Lord, how will you manifest yourself to us? And how will you reveal yourself to us when you're gone? But also this question shows Judas Thaddeus' desire to know the Lord. He wanted to know. And, as being raised and brought up in school, we're told that there's never a dumb question. Well, there's really never a dumb question, because if you really don't know something, you need to ask. In this case, maybe Judas Thaddeus was struggling with this idea of the Lord leaving and going away, yet being with him and all of these things. But the takeaway is that he wanted and desired to know the Lord. But get this, if it wasn't for Judas Thaddeus' question and his desire to know the Lord, we know that the Lord can or could have manifested these verses through other people, but yet it was based upon this question he had that we have these other verses. Look at verse 26. This is how we have this verse based on Judas Thaddeus' question. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you, in all these other verses. And so because of that supposedly insignificant question in the eyes and minds of many, it sprung this kind of answer that we have tonight. And so what a blessing it is that although we may not have all the answers in life, and of course we're all still learners of the Word, it's amazing how God can speak and what God can do through our ignorance. The Lord is still in control, and He can do mighty and marvelous things even through our ignorance. And so we see that there, the question which shows Thaddeus' lack of spiritual understanding to the teaching of Jesus. Jesus spoke on this often, but also shows his desire to know the Lord. And so, what is the answer to that question? Well, he asked again, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not the world? And so the answer comes in three different ways. How Jesus would manifest himself to these apostles and disciples and everyone else who accepted him as Savior to present day. Let me say this before I get into those three ways. How Jesus answered this question. We know that the world cannot understand God because they have not the Spirit. We know that. Let me just read this verse briefly. John 14, of course, verse number 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Shall be in you. And so this was Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit that would indwell them. And he said that the world cannot receive that because they don't know the Lord. But he says there's coming a day where the Spirit will be in you. I do want to turn over briefly before I mention these three ways Jesus took care of that question in 1 Corinthians 2:14, if you would, for just a moment. 1 Corinthians 2:14. And again, we're briefly talking about this little note that the world cannot understand the things of God or the Spirit because they don't know the Lord. Before we get into these next three ways that God manifests himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Actually, I want to back up verse number 11. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now he's talking here about us in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Pause for a moment. Because we've received the Spirit of God, that's how we understand the things of God. You know that. And so we have, in one likeness, a receiver. We have a built-in receiver by the new birth. Hold on to that thought. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And so we see the unredeemed, unsaved person, natural man, receiveth not the things of God. But also at the same time, without getting too heavy and bearing ourselves up in this thought, being saved, we still have an old nature and a new nature. And so it's by that new nature, having this receiver that we're able to understand the things of God, but there is a part of us that doesn't understand the things of God or doesn't want to walk with God, doesn't want to please God. That's the natural man. That's the carnal man. But for the lost person, they're all natural in man. He says, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, he that has a receiver by the new birth, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, or the ability to know the mind of Christ. I said that to say this, that we have received the Spirit of God by the new birth. All that are saved have received Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the Godhead. You have received the Spirit of God by the new birth. I said this illustration before, and I'll say it again. Right now, there is cooking taking place in here. Right now, there's ball games taking place in here. Right now, there's murders taking place in here. At this very moment, there is arguing and fighting. There's sports. There's all these things right now in this room. You say, I don't see those things. Well, of course you don't, because it's in the airways. And you have a cell phone or you have TV, cable. It has a receiver. And although you can't see it, you can receive it because of your cell phone, your device, your TV, your cable. You're able to watch sports. You're able to watch those cooking shows. You're able to watch those detective shows and all the rest of it because you have a receiver. Well, it's the same thing with the spiritual man. We have a receiver. We are able to receive the things of God because of the new birth, but the natural man cannot. And so we're living in a world where there are both natural men and spiritual men, those who are saved and those who are unsaved. There are those who can understand the things of God and God manifest himself to them, and there are those who cannot, who do not have the Spirit of God. God does not manifest himself to them. And so I wanted to make that note that the world cannot understand God because they have not the Spirit or the receiver. And so back to our question, the question that Judas Thaddeus had was, again, he asked, Lord, how will God manifest himself to us and not the world? Well, it's a threefold answer. Number one, God reveals himself through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus really expounds on this more in detail. Back over to John chapter number 14. John 14. Let's see. Miss Mary Kelly, John 14, verse number 15 through 18, if you would. So we see that God here reveals himself through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Godhead Trinity there. Now the term, another comforter, back in verse number 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Those two words there, another comforter, means another of the same sort, or another one just like me. Jesus is saying that he is a different person from me, yet he is just like me. And we all know that there are two separate, but they're the same person. It's just the third person. He says, I'm not going to be here in bodily form. I'm going to be there, but my essence, who I am, will be in you. Another comforter. Another form of another sort. Jesus is saying that he is, again, is a different person from me, yet he is just like me. And tonight the Holy Spirit is indeed a person. I want you to notice a couple personal pronouns here in verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he's a person. He may abide with you forever. You get down to verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So those are personal pronouns. It's speaking of the Holy Spirit as a person. The Holy Spirit isn't a force, isn't momentum. He's a person, the third person in the Godhead. And we see that there in those verses speaking of who he is as a person. Let's see, verse number, well, I just read those verses. All right. Of course, there's other scriptures that we don't have time to get into tonight, but the Holy Ghost mentions it talks about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost having a will, having a mind, can be lied to. We're told not to quench the Holy Spirit. We're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. What's the difference between quenching and grieving? Well, when you quench the Holy Spirit, it's something the Holy Spirit wants you to do, but you don't do it. I don't do it. We quench him. We extinguish as one putting out a fire. We don't need to have no spiritual fires put out, do we? We don't need to grieve. I don't need to grieve the Holy Spirit. But then grieving the Holy Spirit is something that we do that we shouldn't do. It grieves Him, saddens Him. You know, as a father, having a daughter. Go ahead, Miss Mary.
Does it mean that you have two Holy Spirits, two comforters?
No, ma'am. It's one. Yeah, it's just one. Just one. But thank you for asking. Now, as a father, I delight in Lily doing great. I delight in Lily doing good. There's times where I ask her to do something and she doesn't do it. That would be her quenching my desire for her. Then there's things that she does that me and her mother is not fond of. We don't want her to do, but she does it, and it grieves us. It saddens us. And so if that happens to earthly parents, much less think about the heavenly Savior, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God all in one, it grieves Him. It grieves Him. And, you know, the longer I'm a dad, the longer Lily, she's growing up in age, she's experiencing different things. I can relate so much to this father-child relationship. I mean, even when she was born, immediately I started seeing parallels in the Bible with our Heavenly Father. But especially the older she gets and making decisions and choices and doing things right and missing the mark on this side, there's definitely lots of parallels there. But in other scriptures, it talks about that the Spirit has a will, a mind, can be lied to, prays and discerns. All is wrapped up in the Holy Spirit. Again, the name Comforter means to come to one side and aid them. It means another of the same sort, to come to one side, to give them aid, to comfort them. Jesus told His disciples that the Holy Spirit dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And so that's one way how the Lord manifests Himself, and He's given this answer there to Judas in so many different areas. Judas Thaddeus. What about a little bit more on the Holy Spirit? What about the Old Testament moving of the Holy Spirit? You know, He worked then too. We know there's many situations in the Old Testament, circumstances, and people of God where the Holy Spirit came upon them and anointed them or touched them. That word anointed means to smear. And so many people in the Old Testament were smeared with the Holy Ghost. I want to be smeared with the Holy Ghost. I want Him to smear His hand on me and get me ready and put me up there, you know, to preach God's Word, put me here. Smear me, Holy Spirit, so I can walk uprightly in You out there in the world, so I can be bold and have courage to witness to others. I want to be smeared tonight, and I know you do too. What about Samson? Many places, or many times, we don't have time to get into these verses. You can go back and look at them later, but Judges 13:25, the Bible talks about how the Spirit moved upon Samson in the camp of Dan. How that there was, in my mind, how the Holy Spirit worked there. The Spirit of God gave Samson impressions in his mind and impressed in his heart which direction to go. And then in many situations, the Spirit of God would come upon Samson. He would go and stir himself, and the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him, and he would be able to destroy and kill the enemies. And so we see that in Samson. That's Judges 13:25, Judges 14:6, and verse number, or in Judges 14:6 and 19, and then Judges 15 and 14. A lot of verses I'm throwing at you. That's an Old Testament picture of the Holy Spirit moving and working. And then what about Saul in 1 Samuel 10, verse 10? And then in chapter 11, verse 6, we have Saul there being touched. And then, of course, in Psalms 51, verse 11, David prayed, "Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me." What was that all about? He's talking about he needed his unction. He needed his power. This is something that we should never pray. Even if you did pray this, being a believer, it would never happen. Because once he comes into your heart and takes abode, he can never leave. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But David needed that touch. He needed that smearing. Bro, CJ talked about it Sunday night, about David and the things that he did. Well, he did that because he was smeared. He was smeared with the Holy Spirit. And Saul, and then and Samson. What are some of the things that Samson did? I love the story of Samson. Well, he rent a young lion into pieces and came back later, and there was honey in the carcass. All right? There was a time where he caught these foxes, and he tied their tails together, and he put a torch in the middle and let them loose into the city. Think about catching, I can't remember how many foxes it was, 1,000, 2,000, somewhere, hundreds or thousands. I think it was in the thousands. I can't imagine catching one fox. I remember watching the Rocky movies growing up, and there's that scene where Rocky is chasing that chicken in that fence and trying to, it's a form of training. I couldn't imagine chasing a chicken and catching a chicken. But when God's in it, he can enable you to do the impossible. Brother Justin, are you telling me that God's going to enable me to go out into the woods and catch a bunch of foxes? No, that ain't what I'm saying. But what I am saying is the Lord and in the Master's touch, his smearing on your life, can enable you to do exceeding abundant above everything you could ask or think. In Jesus, he can enable you to do the impossible. We see that in Samson. We do know on one occasion Samson went out to stir himself, and the Holy Spirit wasn't there. He knew not, wist not that the Holy Spirit had departed from him. Again, this is before the cross. This is before Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit was given to take permanent residence in the heart. This was Old Testament. And then, of course, the faithful night when he was in the building and he got his hair cut from Delilah. He got a haircut at the devil's barbershop. The Bible does say, though, his hair began to grow again. That is a message of forgiveness. That is a message of second chances, that Samson's hair began to grow again. But he was in the building, and all the enemies were around him, and they plucked his eyes out. Man, they just put him through it. He was chained, and he said, "Oh, God, one more time, would you please allow me to do something great?" And he pulled the beams from the building, and it killed all the enemies, including Samson himself. And the Bible says that he killed more in his death than he did in his life. It was because the Lord moved upon him and answered his prayer in that moment. A lot of the Old Testament, more than just these three, Samson, Saul, and David, lots more times when the Holy Spirit worked. So we know in the New Testament, the Holy Ghost would come in a way like never before. Jesus said, "He shall be in you, in you." And I'm so glad tonight that the salvation I have is nothing I have to muster up every day. It's nothing that I have to, I don't have to depend on keeping myself saved. I don't have to keep myself saved. I don't have to make myself able to serve. I'm glad that my salvation doesn't depend on me, nor my service to the Lord depends on me. Why is that? Because the Lord enables those to serve him who were saved, and his salvation is eternal. His salvation is once and for all, forever settled in heaven. And so the New Testament says, "He shall be in you." Let me mention a couple more things briefly tonight. In the upper room, Jesus breathed upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. That's John 20, verse 22. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost descended to baptize the church and filled to serve. This fulfilled the promise of the Father, Luke 24, 49, and Acts 1, 4 through 8. Also, the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Truth. Why is that? Because truth is Jesus. Truth is Jesus. And they are one. John 14, 6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." You begin reading over in the epistles of John, not the gospel, the epistles. In 1 John chapter 2, you'll read where the person that denies Jesus is a liar and is Antichrist. And so all these things when it comes to the Holy Spirit and how God reveals himself through him. Let me just run through these. I mentioned a lot already. Jesus says that we will come unto you and dwell in you. That's John 14:23. Other verses in John, we were mentioning several, twice and three times even. The Spirit will abide with us. Jesus will come to us. The Father and Son will abide with us. 1 John 2:20 and verse number 27. I'm just giving it to you. We see here the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. In that verse, he talks about no man needs to teach you, for you have received the anointing or the unction. You've been smeared. You've been touched. You're able to receive the things of God. John 16:7-16. These scriptures teach that the Holy Spirit will convict sinners of their sin, guide the believer into all truth, speak of Jesus, and glorify Jesus. And so that's one way he manifests himself, is through the Spirit. But also he manifests himself, of course, through his word. We just don't have time tonight to get into all these, but John 14:10 and verse, John 14, verse number 10 and verse number 24, John 15:7 talks about that. Let me just mention one of those while we're here. Verse 10 says in John 14, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And so Jesus manifests himself through his words, because they be of the Father. So he manifests himself through his word. He reveals himself, manifests himself through prayer. John 14, verse 13 and 14. Listen to this. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Of course, we know there's stipulations on that. But he reveals himself through prayer. How many times have you prayed for something or someone and asked God to intervene, asked God to help, and he came through and he intervened or helped? How many times have you prayed for something or someone and it didn't turn out how you wanted it to be, but you took a step back down the road and you seen that God was providential and he worked in a situation? Well, God manifests himself through prayer. A couple more things tonight. Of course, there's a condition to receiving manifestations from God. You must be saved. But also in verse 23, notice something else. He says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if these manifestations are conditional, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In a nutshell, what he's talking about is he's talking about walking with God. Walking with God. If we love him, we'll obey him. And when we obey him, there's fellowship. And so that's a condition of the manifestations of the Lord, as well as loving God and obeying him. God will manifest himself. It says it right there. John 14:27, one of the greatest blessings of God's manifestation will be of peace. He says, peace I live with you. I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace is priceless, isn't it? And that's something that the Holy Spirit gives. He gives peace to the heart. And so that's the misunderstanding of the question that Judas Thaddeus had. And so we talked about the three ways that the Lord manifests himself and how he answered that question. And then lastly, in that same vein, we have Thaddeus' death. We have his death. And history records that Thaddeus was crucified at Edessa, A.D. 72. And so that's all that's I gathered about that, about his death. That is that he died, or he was crucified at Edessa, A.D. 72. The lesson tonight was just about that other Judas, that other Judas. And many times we can have a name, and then someone we know or close to can have the name and live two different lives. And sometimes one name can have overshadow another name. Well, that's how it was here with these two Judas is. Judas Iscariot and that of Judas Thaddeus. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the lesson. Thank you for the time of study, Lord, how that it was very, very encouraging and refreshing. I pray as we go home and go our separate ways, you'll keep us all safe, bring us back safely on Sunday. And we look, Lord, we pray that you'll do something special on Sunday, Sunday morning and Sunday night. We love you tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody have any questions before we go? All right, you're at liberty to go.